cool. Thanks, Helen. So Children's Day, and as you know, children are close to my heart, and I think close to the heart of all of us as a church fellowship. I think it's one of those wonderful places where, as people gather and children run amongst us, it's quite a unique experience in our culture that, apart from biological families, is one of the few places where different people, different generations, different cultures mingle together and mix together and come to understand more of each other. So I find the church family a very special place, particularly around children. And Children's Day itself apparently has been going since 1925. Now, certainly I don't remember Children's Day being celebrated when I was a child. Perhaps my parents didn't think about it. But anyway, I don't remember it being on the calendar. So New Zealand has perhaps picked this up in more recent years. And as I Googled it, you can always Google things, which is great, I discovered that Children's Day is celebrated on different days around the world, and they talk about when New Zealand celebrates theirs, which is the first Sunday in March. But Wikipedia, I was quite sort of stunned, really, because just, you know, the old Google Wikipedia thing, it says New Zealand, you know, on Children's Day, they honour children as taonga. But it states there that New Zealand has high rates of child abuse and family violence. So it's kind of like, you know, anyone around the world Googles New Zealand, that is what they say about us. And I was a bit stunned and a bit shocked that that was kind of right out there at the top. Much as we have heard that, that's what the world is hearing about us, which was kind of a bit sobering, really. So I'm... This morning, what I want to do, I want to challenge us Baptists to get into our hearts a little bit more and think a little bit more about our feelings as we think about children. Now, we're going to begin this by you trying to remember what is your earliest childhood experience. So what's the thing that happened, event? What's your earliest memory? Usually it's around about the age of 3. We don't generally remember much more before that. I have a very distinct memory, and I'm not sure if I've shared it before, but I'm going to share it again in a minute. But I want you to think about what was your earliest memory. Mix is a blank, so I don't think you have an early memory, is that right? Mix always struggle with this one, and you may, but try and think, what was your earliest memory? And just chat to the person next to you and share with them, what was that? What was that earliest little memory that lodges in your brain? Go to it. Okay, now, so the challenging question around your earliest memory is, what was the feeling? Do you remember what the feeling was in your earliest memory? So I'll tell you mine. I may have told you before, but I remember arriving at kindergarten. So it must have been my first day that I ever was taken to kindergarten. And I have this distinct... Have I told you this one before? Who's heard this one? Maybe I just told Wonder Mums, can't remember. Anyway, I distinctly remember sort of standing on the footpath, looking into the building, and all these children, you know, kind of herding in. And they were all kind of excited, and I had gone along with a little friend, and she just like, whoa, this is great, other kids play, and she just took off into the building. And I stood there thinking, looking at these children and thinking, how do you do that? I didn't know how to just kind of run in with the crowd and join in. I just didn't know how I was going to be part of the big party that seemed to be going on. And that felt scary. So my feeling was, this is scary and uncertain. I don't know how I'm going to do it and I don't know what's in there. That was my feeling. Can you identify the feeling? I'm trying to get in these feelings, not the thought, but the feeling of your earliest memory. Put your hand up if you think you can identify a feeling around your first memory. Good, great. Yes, you can. Good, you can. Yep. What about half of us can identify a feeling? Put your hand up if it was a good feeling. Great. Put your hand up if, like me, it was not a good feeling. Interesting. So more good feelings than not good feelings. I think a lot of that is about personality and just, you know, whether it was a traumatic or a great experience. But it's been interesting talking with my children who are now, you know, kind of adults, and as they have reached an age of reflecting on their childhood with one another, which as a parent is always a scary thought that one's children talks about their childhood and probably about their parents and their failings, all that sort of stuff. But as my children have talked about reflecting with one another on childhood, they've said, you know, things we thought happened in a certain way actually didn't happen that way. Or the way I saw that was different to the way my siblings saw that. The feeling they had about that same experience was different to the feeling that I had. And I don't know if you have also reflected with siblings and discovered this, but children pick up the feeling of a situation more than this is what happened. Is that true? You get that? So children are very impacted by the emotion and the vibe, as it were. In fact, kids are probably super tuned in to the vibes. As we get older, we tend to kind of get over our feelings and we move off to our heads and think we're all terribly, you know, on top of it all. And we actually lose the ability to tune in to our feelings the same. But kids, this is a strength of theirs and it's a wonderful thing because they pick up the vibe. But what they pick up is often stuff that we have no idea that they're picking up. And so with that feeling, they interpret that and create their reality. So that's the way it is for kids. And some of this, I had a particularly powerful experience of sharing, someone was sharing their life story with me who'd had a very traumatic experience during their childhood. They'd actually had the same traumatic experience of abuse twice with different people. But they experienced those two things differently, and the one that was less severely impacting was because during the experience, her sister was holding her hand. So because someone else was there with her in that trauma, it was less damaging for her. And I thought that was a really profound understanding of how children also experience the hard stuff that kids go through. Anyway, what I want us to think of a little bit about today is something that you've probably heard about a lot in the media, and you've heard about it on TV. If you haven't, you've been in somewhere else on the planet, because this is a topic that's been talked about a lot, probably so much that some people have got a little bit about it all. But I would like us, because we are the people of God, and God has charged us with being responsible for our society and our planet, for being involved, for caring about what's happening in our society. He charged us with that when he created us. So we have to think about these things. And the issue I want us to think about from the point of view of children and their experience is child poverty. So you've heard about that in the media. You've seen stuff on the news. There have been some amazing documentaries on it about New Zealand and what's happening in terms of poverty. Now, what I want you to get past is the political agendas. Because often those kind of issues get so wrapped up in the politics. So let's just put all that aside. I want us to put aside how we might define poverty, because again, people get all wrapped up in, well, what's really poverty? You know, what statistics mean what? Let's just put that aside for right now. Probably the one stat I like to think about is that they say around 17% of New Zealand children go without basic necessities. So they talk about 25% being living in a state of poverty compared to everybody else, but 17% actually go without basic necessities. I think that's something to think about. So, but let's put aside the debate around that. Let's put aside who's to blame. Let's even put aside how do we fix it. Let's just put all that away. Let's put aside the comparisons with previous generations. You know, is it as bad now as it was in the Depression? I don't know. Some of you have experienced both of those eras, but let's just pop that over here for a while. And let's put aside all the advice that we would like to give to those who are struggling with minimum resources. Because whenever you get into a conversation about this, generally people go to one of those agendas. Is that right? So let's just try and pop all of that aside. The reality for children is that it's very stressful. Because children are sitting in a situation where they don't understand what's going on, they don't know why it's going on, they don't know what the politicians are saying about it, and really they don't care. They don't know who's to blame, and they don't care who's to blame either. They're just picking up the vibe. And kids pick up stress. So if you're a family, and we talked a little bit about marriage last week, and most of us probably went home with that one thinking, boy, you know, marriage is tough. Is marriage tough? Is living with anyone else tough? Is parenting tough? Of course it is. Is finding a job tough? Finding a satisfying job? That's tough. Finding housing that you can afford. All of those ordinary, everyday things that all of us struggle with. All of that's hard enough. But I want you to just think a little bit about coping with all of that as a family, plus not having enough resources for basic necessities. What kind of stress does that cause? Plus loneliness. Because when you can't even get in a car and just go off to the beach or whatever. A lot of kids in South Auckland have never been to the beach. So that gets really boring. So add loneliness, add boredom, add never getting a break. Every day being exactly the same. Add watching the telly, where it looks like most people on the planet actually do have enough, more than you've got. That's how it looks. Add in not being sure about the future and how it's all going to work out. Add in not knowing where you're going to live, maybe next week or next year. Add in sickness or disability. Add that into the pot. Add in how shameful it feels that your life seems a bit out of control. Add in how ashamed you feel as a parent if you can't give your kids what you think other kids have got. Christmas presents, birthday presents, even an ice cream. How does that feel within a family? So whatever the parents are doing well or not doing well, all of that is really stressful for the whole family. And think about how do the children feel in that space? What are the vibes that they get? Tell the person next to you, what do you think the feelings are for children in that space? Let's just get inside our hearts a little bit. Just how we chat to the person next to you, how do you think children feel in that space? Just for a couple of minutes. Okay. Thank you for... I feel like you're with me here. I feel like you're really thinking about this. And I think that's great. We're just taking time to think about some of the hard stuff for kids. There is a real emotional toll on children. So that's the space I want us to think about. Now, as I say, I don't want us to necessarily think about what are the answers to child poverty in New Zealand. I think there's lots of stuff to consider in that space. It's long-term, it's complex, and we must all keep talking about that. But I believe there are some things that are very important that we can offer children in the here and now who are stressed. Now, whether that's poverty or whether that's something else, life is actually really stressful for kids. Just going to school is stressful. Making friends is stressful. Getting on with their education is stressful. It's not easy being a child. There is stuff that we can do. Now, whether you're their parent, whether you're their auntie, whether you're their grandparent, whether you're just the neighbour, whether you have just the smallest interaction with a child, or whether you live their life with them, you can have a powerful impact for good on the life of a child. And that's what I want us to consider this morning. Now, I don't know if you can remember someone in your childhood. There was just someone you met and the vibe was great. Who can remember? Put your hand up. You can think of someone in your childhood and you just met them. It may have only been a brief encounter, or it might be someone that you knew, like a grandparent or whatever, but someone that when you were with them, it just had a good feeling. It felt safe. It felt warm. It felt welcome. I remember a woman, I would have probably been about 11, and she was a Sunday school teacher. Now, I had always hated going to Sunday school. I went to an Anglican church during my childhood, and we did it in a very dark, cold hall. And the only thing I remember is that little song they used to sing when the offering plate went round, you know, hear the pennies dropping. That's about all I remember of it. It was not pleasant, it wasn't fun, none of the stories meant anything to me, it wasn't great at all. Bad vibe, okay? Let's not do that to our children. But I remember when I was about 11 and there was this Sunday school teacher, and she was different. She felt different. There was something I picked up in the air when I was with her. And it was powerful. It was powerful, and I was drawn to that. We can be that for any child we meet. And it gives them hope. Give some hope. I'm going to read that again, this little passage. From Mark 10 it is, 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them. But the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, he put his hands on them, and he blessed them. How can we give the children we meet that experience that they are blessed? We want children to walk in here, walk into our homes, to come into contact with us and feel the blessing of Christ. Is that right? We want them to experience the blessing of Christ. Now, there is a great little parenting concept that I think kind of encapsulates a little bit about this for me, and we've got a video clip on it. Now, it's called Circle of Security. And the concept is that whether you're a parent, now this focuses a bit on parents, but it talks also about anyone in a child's life, can be that place for a child where they feel just as Jesus did, that welcome, that embrace, that you are seen, you are heard, you are understood. Whatever the feelings of a child are valid. Whatever they've been through, so often when a child says, "Oh, I feel this," or "I feel that," or they express that feeling by screaming, or crying or being a pain. They're just expressing the feeling. And so we have to hear the feeling and embrace them in that space. Doesn't mean they can scream their heads off all day. They're not saying that. But as children feel the embrace, they are comforted. And they are given that sense of security. And if we're going to have children who are feeling stressed, they are hungry for that place. So let's just watch this video, and it just gives you a little bit more of this concept.
Welcome to Circle of Security Parenting, a relationship-based parenting program developed by Kent Hoffman, Glenn Cooper, and Bert Powell, three of the originators of the internationally acclaimed Circle of Security. It is best to begin learning about the Circle of Security, knowing it is about all of us and each of us. The circle began at the beginning of life and will continue throughout life, all through time, and in every place around the world. As you will soon find out, the more secure your child is, the more she or he will be able to enjoy you, have higher self-esteem, and the confidence to turn to you in times of trouble, both now and all the way into those difficult teenage years. Based on decades of attachment research, the Circle of Security was created as a simple graphic to make this everyday coming and going within relationship easy for all of us to recognize. We'll start with a very basic tour of the circle, and then, as we travel together over time, we'll add a few extra pieces to the circle. Let's start with the hands that you see on the circle. It's always important to remember that we are those hands. We are the secure base that gives our children the sense of safety they need to step out on the circle and discover the world. Of course, children soon need to return. We are also the safe haven they come into when they need reconnection. It's as if they're filling their emotional cup. When their cup is full, they are ready to venture right back out on the circle for another round. With each new round, our relationship grows stronger, and our child feels increasingly secure.
When you don't understand, like, why your child's going out and you're really scared, or when your child's coming in and you're, like, really annoyed or irritated, it's just good to know that the circle, like, about the circle, because then you're knowing why they're coming to you or why they're going out, and you can support them in both directions.
It wasn't anything that I had ever heard of. It was just something totally different that just clicked in my mind with seeing how the kids go around the circle with exploring and with coming back in for comfort or, you know, whatever it is that they need.
The circle helps me have a picture of what's happening, that's happening all the time.
The circle taught me to be able to look and see my child's needs. So on the top, she was going out to explore, and they usually go out to explore, and, you know, they want you to delight in their exploration, and then they usually come back to you. I didn't know that.
There is much more to learn about the needs that children have as they go around the circle of security. For now, you may want to watch for the circle with your children, as well as looking for how it shows up with the children of friends and neighbors.
I can support that now.
I'm confident that my son is coming back to me. I can watch him exploring and being out where he needs to be, and I can be there when he comes back.
I mean, I could really see how it could work with me and my daughter, and, you know, even other kids that I deal with, you know, with my own parenting, or I used to work in childcare, and, you know, it was never really talked about in that kind of way.
And I think it'd be totally cool if more people were involved in it.
Once you can see it, you may be surprised to find that the Circle of Security is already playing a central role in the life of every child you meet.
So you see, it's a very simple concept, but I don't know, it clicks for me too, to just think that with every any child I meet, whether it's just a child that walks past you in church or on the street or whatever, you can be part of their secure base. And with what's scary for them out there in the world, with the stuff they have to face, with what's happening in their own home, you can be part of that secure base that gives them a sense that there is a place in the world, there are people in the world who accept them, who embrace them, who say welcome, as Jesus did. So we are really exploring how we do that more and more here within this fellowship. Small beginnings, some little puffs down in the back there for parents to sit on so the little kids can run. You know, we're just looking at ways that with this especially baby explosion that's going on, we as a group of people can provide a place that says welcome to children, to stressed parents who are finding it really tough day by day, that says it's okay that your kids are expressing their stress in this space in sometimes interesting ways. We welcome you. We understand. We accept. Children are here and welcomed. So this is something that I think is would be great for us all to be part of. We all have the possibility of being part of children's lives in this amazing ways. Now, I know that, given that we have a little bit of time, there are some of you who are directly involved with children on a day-by-day basis. Now, that might be as a parent, or it might be as a teacher, might be working in childcare. I'd like you guys to stand up now. So parents, people who are directly involved day-by-day in the life of children, you guys stand up now because we want to pray for you because you have a very direct involvement in this circle of security that I know we would all love for you to offer. So if you're near one of those people, could you just place a hand on their shoulder, stand around them, and let's just gather around these people. We've got quite a few parents over here, so we might meet some who are perhaps not parents to come over here and stand with some of these people. Let's just shuffle ourselves up a little bit so we can stand with those who are really going to need our support in being that space for children. That's it. Move around, put your hand on someone, find someone who's standing, and let's show our support for them and let's pray for them. Mick's looking for someone. Put up your hand if you need someone. Okay, let's just all pray together. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We just thank you that you have your eyes upon the children, Lord. You love the children. Just love the children. And you embrace them and you welcome them. Lord Jesus, we as a fellowship now, we just come together and we want to pray especially for those who are directly involved in the life of children every day. Father, we do pray that you would pour out your Spirit upon them in grace, in wisdom, in their emotional strength to be that base for children. Lord, build them up. Lift them up, Lord, in their hearts, in their spirits. Lord, fill their cup by your Spirit that they may have something to give and to offer the children that come to them every day. Lord, and may we as a fellowship, may we be a place that welcome the children as you did. May, Lord, the children of this fellowship experience you through us. May they experience the welcome. May they feel heard. May they feel understood. As, Lord, they seek to explore life step by step, may we support and facilitate their growth, their flourishing, their discovering of who they are in you, of who they're called to be, of all of the possibilities of their lives. Lord, may we be a people who enable children to flourish, both within our fellowship, in our neighborhoods, within our wider families, Lord, with all of the children that we meet. Teach us new things today, Lord, about how to be those who will enable that for children. In your wonderful, wonderful name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Have a seat. The last song.